Hi, folks, and welcome to day 15 of Cast Today. Fortunately, caffeine is real, and I have unrestricted access to it. We are halfway done, but we're definitely not slowing down. Today's guest is Kevin Fair, one of the most humble and hardest working men in the Chicago area, but he's doing something that he loves, and I'm pretty sure you folks love it too. Kevin and his group I Play Games bring video gaming tournaments to the masses. Check out the links in today's show notes for more. Speaking of I Play Games, June 21st at 7 p.m. is Green Day at Emporium Arcade Bar. There will be a Street Fighter V tournament. There will be a donation drive for the Get Well Gamers charity as well. Bring any used game or accessory in clean and working condition, of course, and be entered into a raffle to win a PlayStation Plus subscription card sponsored by Mighty Ink Comics. Hey, I know those guys. Other events going around the city: Brick World Chicago Lego Expo coming up June 18th through 19th. That's going to be at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center. If you're a Lego fan, you've got to check that out. Also, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Annoyance Theater and Bar, All Geeks, they host a weekly Game of Thrones viewing. There's nothing like sitting in a bar watching Game of Thrones with some folks that, you know, like the show too. So definitely check them out. Sunday at 10 p.m., if you're still in the mood to hang out, the Biohazard show at Berlin Nightclub. I heard that's going to be ridiculous. I already mentioned the Emporium Street Fighter V tournament. Of course, that's Green Day as well, our friend. Friend of the show, Corey Green. It's going to be his birthday bash, so you got to come and check that out. He's going to be doing live commentary. But what am I telling you for? I'm going to let Kevin Fair tell you himself. Last but not least, off in the far-flung future, I Play Games is going to be at Anime Midwest, and that's going on in July from the 8th to 10th. So all of you folks, go and check them out, support them. And before we get into the show proper, I want to wish a happy birthday to the one and only Ice Cube, also Neil Patrick Harris, and WWE superstar Bayley. All right, folks, let's get to the show.
Came from another planet to bring the funk. So put on your earbuds and get in your bunk. It's Cast Today, it's here to stay. Don't act like a punk. It's Cast Today, come sail away and now let's get crunk.
Matt Peters! Matt Peters! Matt Peters! Matt Peters!
All right, folks, thank you once again for coming back. This is Cast Today. My guest today is the one and only Kevin Fair. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good today, Matt, man. What's going on?
Oh, well, I'm happy to talk to you. Folks may know you. Folks definitely know you, that is, from the I Play Games gaming entertainment and rentals brand, of course. Gaming Under the Influence. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, you know, it's got, when you start to work for yourself, the list sometimes has to go on and on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, unless you're like a music mogul or somebody that finds a really profitable thing. But, you know, I really kind of started something that I think, like, sometimes we're still trying to invent. Like, we're still trying to invent it as it goes on. So, yeah, you got to get on a lot of stuff, man.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's start from the very beginning. Let's talk about the origin of IPG.
So IPG started back in 2009, man, and really, like, it is a creation of consequence. I could not stand my daytime job, man, and I mean, like, when I was like, I was going through it, and really, like, IPG in a lot of ways for me, man, was like this maturing of, like, just me being who I was. So I took this job straight out of college, man. I was working for one of the big four accounting firms. People were super proud and happy, and they were, oh, man, that's such a good job. And, you know, I'm telling you, I was making in the 65K, like, coming out of college, you know. Wow. And so, yeah, man. So I was like super excited on that because, you know, it was just like, yo, man, I'm gonna make so much money. But I had interned with this accounting firm before I, you know, graduated and before they offered me a job. Mm-hmm. And I knew I didn't like the work. I wasn't that in love with the atmosphere. But I think what I did was, in my mind, I just convinced myself that, you know, nobody likes their job. You just do it for the paychecks.
Oh, sure.
And so, yeah, man, I sipped the Kool-Aid hard, man. Like, I just went into it and was like, well, you know, I am going to be an associate at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and I'm going to do this accounting work. And I mean, like, I hated it, man. Like, long story short, I sold myself out, man. I did some stuff that I knew I wasn't interested in, had zero, there was nothing about me that said, let's be an accountant.
Mm.
And so I got to a point where, man, I was working like 65, 70 hours a week. You know, you were just always on call for something to get done. I really wasn't that good at the work. And so I was just tired, man. And so my release, which always was, you know, my hobby, was video games. I just had fun playing games, and, you know, it's something that me and my brother bonded with. I've met a lot of friends through playing games. I enjoy a lot of video game music. So it became this thing where in my life, I got to this crossroad where it was like, if you had to work a job, if you had to do something and work your hardest at it and make sure you excelled at it, what would it be? And so I knew it had something to do with playing video games.
Oh, yeah.
So interestingly enough, man, at the time Street Fighter 4 was just coming out, I was a very big Smash Brothers Brawl and Melee fan, you know, so I had this idea to have a tournament, which I had done off and on in college. So I was like, I'm gonna just host this tournament, and I'm gonna create a company, and this company hosts tournaments, you know, small local tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first one I held was back in 2009, like a month after the release of Street Fighter 4, and it was called Fight It Out. And, you know, it really has kind of grown from there. It's grown from one thing into another. And, you know, I guess it's more of a self-realization as I go. Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, that's quite an inspirational tale, because there are a lot of folks who, you know, like you said, they sip that Kool-Aid hard, where if they're at a place, they're making money, you know, they could just consider that, okay, this is where I am. This is where I'm going to go. But you knew that you were destined for greatness. And that's really cool.
I mean, I don't try to say destined for greatness.
Oh, that's why I say it for you. It's okay. You know, it's all right if I say it.
You know, it's a struggle too. You know what I mean? It's a struggle, but at the same time, like, you know, when you're passionate about something, man, you know, the money is definitely important on the list. It's high up there, you know, but doing a good job and making sure that it comes off well just seems to be a priority, you know, making sure that people enjoy your product and making sure that, you know, it's as perfect as it can be, you know, is really like something that starts to be a driving force. Like, it's a driving force for me to say, you know, hey, man, I really enjoyed this event, Kevin. Or, hey, dude, like this idea, it was exactly what we needed for this. You know, I've gotten to the point where doing tournaments and stuff has gotten me, you know, the knowledge and the info of what people like and how people want to receive, you know, certain events and stuff like that. And so, yeah, man, like it just becomes doing a good job becomes like top of the list, top priority, making people happy.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up as well. That's one of the things that I love about IPG, because people know when they see you set up at a convention or at just a gathering at a bar or something like that, they know that that's a brand they can trust.
Yeah.
But it's not just a brand in some people's eyes. In other people's eyes, it's also a bit of a community, because just like you say, you made friends through gaming. It's just such a communicable event. People just come together, just playing Smash Brothers and Mario Kart, that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like, it definitely, it would be a miss for me to not recognize the community portion of IPG that, like, at times is, like, my best criticism. You know, I get my best criticism from people that are just, like, you know, a part of the community and have attended events with me for years now. You know, I also have helped being a think tank sometimes, where it's, like, I've got an idea, but, you know, it's, like, let me see if you guys like this idea first and, you know, before I go put money into it or try it out at a bar and whatnot. And so, yeah, I mean, like, we've really kind of grown in a way where I think what's most interesting is that I have not had to shy away from criticism. You know, so many people that, you know, find themselves involved are people that are also coming to enjoy the event. You know, they're coming to enjoy the event, but they definitely have given me a tournament idea or said, like, hey, you know, next time can we do this? And so, you know, I think with the like the boom in social media and content creators, event hosts, having this immediate, you know, kind of like a communication with the end user, it becomes so much easier to just kind of say, hey, listen, man, if you guys think that something didn't go well or you don't understand something or it seems confusing, you know, you can actually reach one of us, you know, and kind of make it happen.
Oh, for sure. You know, and you brought up an important point there, too. The folks that come to your events are the ones that, you know, will show up when it's really time to, you know, put these ideas to work. You know, yeah, you can count on them.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of like, you know, most of these people are as much as they give input, they're also the, like the biggest fans ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's been a really an enjoyable experience for me to be able to put something on in a way where it's like for fans by fans. You know, I think one of the ones that I always ring on because I just cannot stand it when it comes around like this, it just makes the point perfectly to me. Whenever there's like one of the special movie releases, like they want to do like watch Avengers at the end of watching all of the Marvel movies.
Oh, or wow. Yeah.
There's a special date for like the new Dragon Ball movie. Like if there's a Dragon Ball movie coming out and there's only exclusive showings, the thing I cannot stand, especially when it comes to some theaters, is that they are just so tight with the information and also just extremely confusing. And the thing to me is that there's no way to communicate with them in a way where it's like, can this just make sense with me so that I can get this done? And to me, it makes me not want to do it anymore. It makes me less of a fan. It makes me not want to be a fan anymore. It, you know, just, you know, not being able to communicate, you know, with the company that's trying to do something for me. So I try to keep that in mind when people have suggestions about stuff. No matter how polite they are with the suggestion, I definitely try to keep in mind that their input and them being able to feel like they're being heard. Mm-hmm. Is important.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, when folks take a bad experience and turn it into something positive by saying, hey, I don't like this, I'm going to do it better myself.
Yeah.
Versus, hey, I don't like this, I'm going to go on the internet and complain about it over and over.
Exactly.
Again.
Yep.
You know, just spinning my wheels and calling people out of their name, you know, yep. which one is going to put money in your pocket? And it's going to be you doing it the right way every time.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So just kind of on that community note, too, I really admire the way that you do your live streams, because you're not only talking about just game stuff. You're not only talking about what's on the screen, but you sometimes start a dialogue with your viewers about just social events going on, just, you know, events in our community, that sort of thing. What inspires you to really pick what you're going to talk about that day? Just what's on your mind?
You know, what's funny is I think that like, I think saying like what's on my mind is probably like a vague statement, because guess what? Like, and I'm just going to say it this way. Mm-hmm. Being a black person, this is all, some of these social issues will always be on your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Like you need very little outside inspiration to be able to talk about certain things. And a lot of times what inspires me to talk about, like, I think at the time, I can't remember who I was talking about in particular. It was one of them, one of the more recent instances of police brutality that, you know, got me in the conversation. What really kind of drives me is that I think Facebook is great for people getting to know what side of the fence you stand on something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it is a great platform for having thoughtful discussion. Usually Facebook conversations turn into you're yelling back and forth at one another,
yeah.
And you just get more entrenched in your thought about it. You rarely ever have thought provoking, you know, ideas. And so when I get on stream and I try to say something about Black Lives Matter or any one of the organizations that, you know, are, you know, I guess prevalent to the time, like my idea is that, like, here, you need to hear it from a person that is experiencing this. Like, I literally, right before we got on, mm-hmm. I responded to somebody's YouTube. They have a YouTube video, and they were talking about race relations in general. But I asked the YouTuber themselves, I said, you know, like, have you ever just had a conversation with someone that might share some of these views or have disagreeing views.
Right.
Because I can tell that, like, a lot of times, dude, you just start screaming at a screaming and you just start typing back, you know, typing back in anger as opposed to being like, let me try to understand an actual person saying something like this to me. So, yeah, I mean, like, if I was going to say that I'm, like, inspired by something, I'm inspired by trying to, like, appeal to a person's, you know, like, their reason. I really want them to get, you know, hey, like, this is coming from a person. Like, this isn't, you know, somebody that's trying to ram a political agenda down your throat. You know, this is a person that's trying to explain an experience to you and kind of say, like, you know, you may not feel like racism affects certain things. And it's like, I could tell you firsthand, you know, from meeting my grandparents and my great grandparents, how it does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. I don't have a reason to lie to you. Like, I'm not getting on Twitch. I'm not getting paid on Twitch. I might have viewers, but I'm not a partner.
Right.
You know, so I'm not hawking anything as a means to just raise subscriptions. Like, I literally am just trying to have good open dialogue. So, yeah, man, I mean, I enjoyed. I've had some really good people kind of come on and ask some questions. And that's what I want. You know, no matter how, you know, ignorant you may feel like the question is, you know, as long as it's not something that you're trying to do offensively, man, I love the conversation.
For sure. And I got to tell you which one stood out for me the most. This is going all the way back to 2014.
Wow.
When you were playing Alien Isolation and you were talking about Ferguson with the people that were watching the stream.
Damn. Like, I don't even remember.
I can't even tell you. I needed that. I really did. And it, you know what? It just, you hit the nail on the head perfectly, because when you're playing games, especially quiet ones that are just single player, oftentimes your mind does wander and you start thinking through different things like that.
Yeah.
And all you did was just verbalize that and just kind of talk about it just off the cuff. And I'm like, this is real. This is something that you're not getting from any other live stream. And I think that's important. Like you said, Black people need a voice in this industry. Black people need to represent themselves organically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, man. Well, we kind of got a little serious,
like,
for us.
You're like, right. It was like, period. Point made, period.
Right. let's drift back into the more entertaining zone here. Let's talk about what you have been playing recently. Anything stuck?
I'm just joining the rest of the world and playing Overwatch. I bought it like the second day it was out. I won't say I was skeptical, but I just really wasn't into the idea that much at first. Like, it just kind of was like, oh, that's cool. And I think that there's never been anything I can think of or any other time I can think of where two products were essentially like more similar and the companies were not doing anything to make the difference for the longest. And I go to trade shows where both of them were present. I could not tell the difference between Battleborn and Overwatch for like the first 6 months.
Oh yeah.
Like, for the first 6 months of them coming out, both coming out with the concept saying, hey, one is going to be out sooner than the other, I could not tell the difference. And so I didn't know which one I really wanted. I think I looked at somebody's, they had played the betas and also had gotten review copies, and they kind of explained what you would like, you know, based on, you know, what your taste in games were. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I'll give Overwatch a try. And guess what? Like, Overwatch realistically has just been an amazing experience. I absolutely love the game. I love playing it with randoms. I love playing it with friends. It's just a lot of fun. I've lost like 5 hours when it was like, yo, we'll start playing at 7:30. And it felt like maybe I played 2 hours. And then it's like, dude, it's 1 o'clock.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad you're enjoying that. Is there anything on the horizon that you're looking forward to?
Game wise, you know what? I just watched the trailer for Titanfall 2, and I enjoyed Titanfall 1 a lot myself. I know that they were talking about that's going to be talked about at E3. Me and my brother were definitely big fans of Crackdown. Mm-hmm. On the 360, and Crackdown 2 was cool, but I think Crackdown 3 is going to be something that kind of like takes it back to some of the more simple stuff that you had in Crackdown 1. I don't know that I would dedicate the same amount of time I did to to Crackdown 3 that I did Crackdown 1, but it looks amazing. I really enjoy how it kind of looks, or, you know, the feel that they're kind of going for, like this Neo City that looks really cool. So Crackdown 3 is definitely something that was in my list. And then I know I saw something that was coming out in November, but
there's so much. There's so much coming out.
There's always something. And I mean, for me, it's mostly like, what are people going to like at conventions? A lot of what I'm driven by is, can I find something that convention wise is going to be really cool? And so I'm always trying indie games to see if there's some really great couch game gaming available. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciate that you do take the time to really try to find stuff that people are going to latch on to. And sometimes you find stuff that nobody else is even really thinking about, and it just catches on like wildfire. For instance, I've heard many people talking about this game just more and more over the past couple of years, and that's Johann Sebastian Joust.
And man,
I gotta say,
that game took a form of its own. If you want to talk about Alien Isolation,
now you're responsible for bringing that to the Chicago scene. I gotta say, like I heard about this without your name even being mentioned, but then of course every single time people go and play it, they talk about, oh yeah, you know, Kevin Fair was there, he set up the whole thing, and people are really impressed by that.
I don't think I can take the credit for bringing that to the scene. I think that my discovery of the game personally came kind of organic. I saw the sports pack. So here's the full history of, or the 6 degrees of how I got into Johann Sebastian Joust.
Okay.
So UFGT 7 or 8, Ultimate Fighting Game Tournament 7 or 8, I believe, had an indie game there. Now here's how like interesting this is. So Adam Keats Harrow, who was like the former editor of SRK, and also just a pioneer in general, somebody I respect a lot as far as organizing goes in the fighting game community. Also works at Iron Galaxy now. So he's known and seen a lot of games come through development. And so one of the games that he actually put up was called Bari Bari Ball.
Okay.
And Bari Bari Ball, as some people might know now if they're familiar with JS Joust, is a part of the Sports Friend pack. So I had for the longest enjoyed Bari Bari Ball and got to meet the developer of that and all of that. And then found out that it was going to come to, you know, console at some point, you know, and then finding out that it's coming to console with a package of games that people like and play. Now, here's the other funny thing. I always had a whole bunch of the PlayStation Move controllers that I could do absolutely nothing with. There was I had them. I bought the original PlayStation. I bought all of that stuff just trying it out with shooting games. So it's like, all right, here's another piece to the puzzle where most people don't have a whole bunch of PlayStation Move controllers. I had 6 of them just sitting there, and I could only play like one rail shooter with them. That was like the only thing I had them for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm following Bari Bari Ball. It becomes a part of the Sports Friend pack. I have all of these PlayStation Move controllers. And then I see a video about this game that plays Johann Sebastian Sebastian Bach song, of which I have been a fan of. So it was just like, oh, this is cool. There's a game that plays this music. And then it was just like, man, this is like totally, like, this is awesome. Like, I can't believe there's a game that focuses on it. And then it was like, but you don't use the screen at all. And I was like, so wait a second. You're telling me there's a game that you have these classical music songs playing, you don't use the screen, and you use Move controllers? I was like, I got to try this. I was like, I have to try this. So I go ahead and I download the pack. And I actually see some people playing it online. But I mean, like, if we're talking about like this magic moment, like when I saw some people playing it online, and it was some guys that got like a copy for PlayStation 4, they got like a review copy, like the music just, this magic moment. I was like, oh, I was like, this is made for convention. I was like, this is perfect. I was like, most of these people really want something that's active and fun, requires them no video game experience. Like they don't, there's no learning curve for this. It's very small to kind of like get how this game works. It's one of the few games where you can walk up, see how it works, be excited about playing it, and then on your very first try, you have a fighting chance of winning. And all of those things went through my mind as I saw it, and I was just like, this is perfect. And it was like, on top of that, you can commentate it and have fun with it. So, I mean, I've taken it with me just about everywhere, and I've had return people come back and ask for it. And I've had them ask for all of the trimmings too. So it's like, I bring it up to Minnesota with me. I frequent Minnesota like 4 or 5 times a year for convention. I've got a nice community out there of people who, I mean, like, I love coming out to see them, man. They love having me. Almost to the point where there is this mother, father, son that comes and plays Joust with us at this anime convention every time we come. And I let them play the game one time. I wasn't in the actual game room for an amount of time. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, Kevin, man, they're asking about Joust. I said, I turned it on. What's the problem? They were like, no, they said that you had to come commentate. And I was like, that's not a part of the game. That's not a part of the game. Like, the game works without somebody talking over a microphone. But that's what, like, that at its core is Joust. Joust at its core is, man, you're having fun with people that you're familiar with, and you're bringing new people into the game. It is fun to bring new people into the game. Like, most times people sit down and play to a game, they don't want to take turns. They don't openly take turns. Mm-hmm. People offer to take turns in Joust. People turn around and give the controller to new people and have fun holding on to it. And so, I mean, it is one of those, to me, community games that is like a breakout. It is a breakout, like, community video game that, like, it does a lot of the things to turn the idea of gaming on its head. It gets you out of your seat. It makes you active. It makes you interact with other people during the game, live, face-to-face. It's easy to play. It invites people to come in and play. It's, like, it's just easy for you to see what's going on just by looking at it. So I could go on and on how great Joust has been for us and how much fun I've had taking it to different communities and kind of getting the ball rolling. But, yeah, I mean, Joust, I think, is just it's amazing.
It's great, man. People always walk away with a smile on their face, like, no matter what.
laughing, having fun. Like, I turn on Joust, like, I have to now schedule the time for Joust because I can't put it out like a game for people to casually play, because I put out Joust sometimes, mm-hmm. and it's on for 8 hours, 8 hours in a row. No, there's no time where people aren't playing it, you know? So it's like, I have to sometimes schedule time for Joust, man.
Man, that's so cool. Well, this is the perfect time to tell people where you're going to be next. What are we looking forward to in the near future here, man?
So, man, I got a couple things going on, man. So I'm going to drop off at Denver Comic Con this week. I'm actually working with a company that I actually kind of I co-own now. Oh. Called Dial Up Games. And so Dial Up Games is a retro game and retro arcade game dealer that basically vends at a good portion of cons, man. And so it gets me to a lot of cons. I see a lot of cons from that, meet a lot of people and whatnot. So I'll be dropping off there first. But then the next big event that I'm going to be hosting is a Street Fighter V tournament at Emporium Barcade, man.
Oh, yeah. Those get crazy.
It's going down, man. We've had, on average, we've had like 60-plus people in the tournament on a Tuesday night. And then like 100-plus people show up. So, I mean, it's been amazing. Like, I've had a ton of fun pulling them off for people. I really enjoy Emporium, man, with the 20-foot screen, rather. And it's worked out well, man. Our stream, shouts out to Will English, man. Our stream has looked really professional, come off really great. And I mean, like, dude, it's just been a good experience. And then we got an extra special thing going on because we hosted my homeboy, Corey Green. I heard that he was a guest on the show a little bit earlier.
Oh, yeah.
We are hosting his birthday party the same night.
And he's taking part in the tournament too, right?
So he's going to take part in the tournament, and he's also going to commentate.
Wow.
So what I think was going to be kind of cool for this is that we're going to have some side tournament type stuff going on for Corey specifically. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We have had tremendous fun over the years. And I mean, like, you want to talk about like community built, community fun. we have celebrated Corey's birthday in like tremendous fashion every year since like 2009. We've had CoreyCon, the Corey Bean wine mix, the Corey Lena wine mixer, the Corey Bean Islands. We've had a Corey something themed birthday party every year. I don't even theme my birthday party as well as I do Corey. Like when it comes time to plan Corey's birthday party, I get more excited planning that than I do Corey, my own birthday party. So yeah, we're gonna celebrate his birthday party, and I guess I could actually drop this right now. We are going to also do a used toy drive at his event.
Oh wow!
Corey came up with the idea. Corey really wanted to make sure that like his birthday also included this charitable cause, and we kind of sat down and we just thought about, you know, the different ways we could involve gamers in a charity effort and do something for his birthday party that, you know, like gives purpose to his birthday. Like, you know, it's a lot of fun to have fun amongst your friends, but it's also really cool when the fun that you have can also go towards something. So we are actually going to have a toy drive there. I'm going to put some more details about it tomorrow probably. But yeah, man, and we also looking for some great participation from you, man.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we're definitely going to represent well, hopefully. Mighty Inc. is contributing to the prizes for the tournament. So
nice. Yeah, yeah. No, I was going to say, this is like all in the family, man. I really enjoy like bringing together Chicago, you know, groups and organizations. And it's like, dude, we can make some really great events together.
For sure, man. For sure. You guys are doing a great job over at IPG. And, you know, definitely the whole toy drive thing, that's a fantastic idea. So as soon as you share that information, we're going to put it up on the site. Folks, make sure to check out all the links I put in today's episode. You will not be disappointed. Hopefully we see a lot of you guys there at Emporium on June 21st. I'll be there. Corey Green's going to be there. And of course, Kevin Fair is going to be there himself.
Yep. I was going to say everybody is going to be there, man.
That's right.
People are like, most people try to tell me, it's like, hey, I got to work. And I'd be like, well, quit your job. I'd be like, I quit my job to start this business. Quit your job to show up.
There you go, man. See, you're the story that all the parents are scared about. You know, what you're going to do, so they don't play games all day. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. Now what?
what's even worse is that you want to talk about scared of that. You talk about walking away from high paying job to be like, I'm gonna start my own business playing video games. So even worse than just play games all day, quit your highly successful great job.
Well, you turn nothing into something, man. So congratulations on that, and definitely thank you for coming on the show today. Yeah, man, you were great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you having me, man.
Oh, for sure. For sure. For sure. So, folks, definitely check out those links. Once again, a big thanks to Kevin Fair for coming on. I'm Matt Peters saying stay mighty.